Amen. Wow. Good morning. Man, I love that first song. I just got hung up over there thinking about that first song. It says, "When I couldn't do it, so you did it for me." I couldn't do it, so you did it for me. How many of you are thankful for that? So, good morning. We're glad that you're here. I'm glad that you chose Bethel today. But today, we're going to close out our series of Summer in Psalms. We're going to close it out, and we hope that you guys have had just as much fun as we have as the staff and as the preachers trying to navigate this thing and learn and grow and read all of the Psalms and all of the things. And also to you that maybe have not been enjoying it, sit tight, smile, and hold on just one more Sunday, because next week, Cody's going to bring the fire with a brand new series, and you're going to love it. So, that being said, before we get too far into this thing, let's welcome everybody online this morning. We're glad that we have that, and glad that they can watch. And other than that, let's roll. Let's go to it. We're going to be in Psalms 141. We'll be in verses 3 through 5. Psalms 141, 3 through 5. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open and hearts would be receptive today, God. I pray that you would just speak through me, Lord, that it would not be my words, but it would be your words, Lord. And I pray that hearts would be open-minded today, Lord. And I pray that as this thing convicts people today, as it convicted me the last 3 weeks, God, I pray that we would all just be able to grow and that you'd be able to just help us get to a place where we're going and not where we have been. But God, just grow us up and mature us as Christians and young men and young women of God, Lord. Just continue to use this message as much as it has spoke to me. I pray that you would just move me out of the way, that you would speak to me, speak through me this morning to everyone in here. And everybody said, amen. All right, verse 3, let's go. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me, that is kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is the oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. So as I mentioned in my prayer, can I just say real quick, before you bow up and before you get on the defense this morning, I want each and every one of you to know, this sermon was hard for me to write. This sermon spoke right to me. This sermon hit on a whole lot of things that I need to get better on, and I will just tell you, I'm working on it, and if you could just agree with me today, we're going to get on the same page, and you're going to work on it too. If you agree, say yes. Yes. So David right here, he's praying. He's praying, God, I need some help. Lord, I need some self-control. Lord, speak to me. David is praying, I need to know, God, when I need to speak and when I need to shut up. When I need to speak and when I need to shut up. He is just asking God, I need some help of when I need to be quiet. If you know me, I need some help to know when to be quiet sometimes. Let's talk about some reasons why we may need to be silent. And I'm just going to be real with y'all. I'm going to talk about a little bit of my struggles and just put myself out there so that you can't get too down on yourself. I'll just tell you where I struggle. But I'm going to start today with a quote from a person that I think is really, really sexy, really quiet, and really wise. Her name is Marley Bell Hatfield. She said, what people don't know, they can't mess up. What people don't know, they can't mess up. And you may say, well, that isn't real biblical. That isn't real biblical. And I would say, bull, let's read Genesis 37. When Joseph had his dreams from God, Joseph started hearing from the Lord. And instead of taking those dreams inside of him and praying over them and getting in God's will and fasting and praying and speaking to the Lord, Joseph just went out and he tells his brother, the first things he does, he tells his brothers, and his brothers are already against him. Therefore, he goes to telling them these dreams and it makes his brothers hate him more. They rip his clothes up, they tear him up, and they put him in a cistern, and then they think, you know what, the cistern's not the way to go, so they pull him out of the cistern, and they sell him to this camel caravan, and he goes to Egypt, and his life is changed forever. Sometimes you and I need to realize that some things that we hear from God, and some things that we learn from God, or maybe just some things that are going on in our life, or going on in our marriage, or going on in our home, is not for everybody else to know. I just want to say, sometimes we take some topics to people that we think are a trustworthy friend. Anybody know what I'm talking about? a trustworthy friend, we think that we're coming at them with a heart of concern. We're going to go talk about these other people, and we're worried about them and what they're going through and their marriage and their money and how they did this or how they did that. And we're going to these people because they're just so trustworthy. And we come at this place where we don't feel like we're coming from evil, and we don't feel like we're coming from gossip. But then as the conversation dwells there, it becomes a whole lot more than we intentionally intended it to be. And then as the conversation dwells there, it goes on down the line to the next trustworthy friend, right? It continues to go down the line. It goes to the next person, and it escalates as it goes down the line. Just in case life hasn't taught you this, I will remind you this today. There are some quiet people in my life and some quiet people in your life that look like a saint, and they act like a saint, and everybody takes their stuff to them. I don't know how they do it, but just people are just drawn to them. They're drawn to go tell them, hey, my marriage is failing. Hey, we have messed up. Hey, I cheated on my spouse. Hey, I cheated in school, or I did this or whatever. Like, we just have these people that we think we can go to, and then really, when we go to those people and we think they're trustworthy, they are actually just looking for you to give all of their stuff up to them so that they can take your stuff and they can spread it around and they can do all of this stuff for their self-pleasure. When I think of this, I think of a manure spreader. Anybody know what a manure spreader is? It's about 8 foot long. It's 8 or 10 foot. It's about 5 feet wide, and I just thought about it. Gigi wouldn't let me bring a real manure spreader in the church. So I got a littler one. But you know what these people do? They listen to you, and they come let you talk to them, and you share your heart to them, and you give them your stuff, and you think they're helping you, but really they're just taking it in, and they're loading their manure spreader, and they got it full, and they're driving around, and they're on the phone, and they're on Facebook, and they're just spreading your crap all over the place, and they're just making the story a little bit different. They're taking some stuff out. They're putting some stuff in. Brakes messed up. And then we just think, you know what? They're just helping me. They're helping me. But then the next thing you know, all they're doing is really just trying to get all of your stuff so that they can spread it around. And I think if we were going to give that person a title, we could tell them that they are the pooper scooper. Just a dirty old pooper scooper. I mean, they just walk around. Really, they go through their daily life. They have jobs and they have families, but they're just looking for a piece of poop to pick up. And they're throwing it in their wagon, and they're throwing it in their arsenal, and they're getting it in there, and they're learning your story, and they're picking it up, and they're going over here, and they're going over there. And then if you and I aren't careful, I don't think those people really meant to become the biggest gossip spreader, but they get pretty talented at it. And if you and I aren't careful, when the gossip spreader and the pooper scooper comes to me and you, and we listen over in the church corner or over at the rodeo or over at the ball game or over here or over there or on the phone, then you and I become a dirty little pooper scooper too, if we don't listen to the discernment of the Holy Spirit. We have to get to a place where we can listen to the Spirit and we can have this discernment. I have to be on guard, and I have to always be thinking, when I open my mouth, am I really being helpful to myself or helpful to others? Or am I being hurtful to myself or hurtful to others? And sometimes I may need to think, would I benefit maybe from just being quiet for a second? Maybe would I just be quiet if it would help me? So we have the pooper scooper, and then we have the rambler. Anybody know the rambler? Must be a whole bunch of ramblers in here. But the rambler, man, the rambler, everybody knows them. The rambler, he usually has a great heart. The rambler usually loves people, and the people usually love the rambler, but we would love the rambler more if the rambler would hush. If he would be quiet. The rambler, he is the one that cannot sit in silence. He is the one that cannot take the silence in the truck. He can't take the silence at the workplace. He can't take the silence over here, and he can't take it over there. It just makes me think about the struggle of silence in my home. My kids, they come out of they're by a stud who will say anything, anytime, anywhere, and I've had to learn through my matureness and maturing in the Word and walking with like believers when I need to shut up and when I need to be quiet. But then he's by a really sexy mare who is, we've already learned, really quiet, and she's really smart, and she doesn't just open her mouth like I do. So our sons now are 6 years old and 2 years old, and the six-year-old, he's at a place in life where he's having to learn. Okay, sometimes I need to talk, and sometimes I need to shut up. When we're driving around, I just think of the people that are ramblers. I just think maybe they didn't have an upbringing of a parent to teach them. Hey, we have to talk now, but then we can't talk later. Hey, how about this one? We can't talk in church, but we can talk later. Let's be quiet. We don't always have to be talking. So when I think of that, I think to myself, I have to teach, and Marley has to teach our kids how not to become these people that just always have to be talking. So then there are many times that it's hard for us, and mainly me, to keep my mouth shut through anger. Anger, it will tempt you. Anger, the hardest time for me to keep my mouth shut is when someone who is immature and a lot of times lost come against me or come against my family or come against our church or come against my friends. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut. What do you mean? Well, I'll say when they lack self-control and they cuss me and really they're just mad at themselves and mad at their own problems. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut when they comment about how we do church, but they've never came to church here. They've never tithed here. They've never stepped foot in here. Or maybe they have come to church here and then they got their butt hurt and then they left church. And instead of just having a good heart and a good mind and going and finding them another church, they want to talk about our church. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut in these situations when they, how about this one, when they send a nasty, dirty little text opening their mouth. When deep down they have issues they cannot navigate, so it is easier for them to vomit all over you and I, but really in reality, if they would just get behind closed doors, if they would shut the door and just talk to their Father in heaven, Lord, this is what I'm going through. He would say, baby girl, baby boy, I see you. I got you. Pray, keep praying to me. Keep coming to me and I'll work in your situation. And surely everybody can relate to this one. When my spouse ticks me off, it's hard for me. She shook her head, no. She's pretty good at shutting up. It's hard for me to keep my mouth shut. And our words hurt, and our words carry, and our words go farther than we ever meant them to go. We've got to learn that when we get into it with our spouse, that we're not fighting flesh and blood, that we're not fighting our spouse, we're not fighting that person, but we need to learn to just keep our mouth shut, and life would be better. It's in these times that you and I have to remember that our Savior Jesus reacted in this way. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb by the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers, he was silent. So he did not open his mouth. Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus, the one that could have changed it, Jesus, who holds all things in his hands, was silent. This series has taught us a whole lot about the power of silence. It's helped me. It's helped my family. I've hoped it's helped you. So let's just remember that there's power in being silent. Let's move on to Psalms 141:4. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. It's a constant struggle, if we're being honest, for you and me, to continue to do what is right in God's sight and not what's right in the world's sight. It's a struggle. Sometimes we want to fall back into our old ways. Sometimes we have these anger and we go back to this or we go back to that. Sometimes we want to go that way. If we're all being honest, we have to keep our mind on it every day. I got to get back in my word. I got to get back over there at church. I got to show up Wednesday. I got to do this. I need to pray with my family. I need to pray over this situation. But sometimes it helps me to know this. If King David struggled with it, it helps me to know that I can overcome it too. Cody said last week, if David can overcome this, you and I can overcome this. The same power that was in David is the same power that was in you. The same power that's in David is the same power that is in me. And you and I can overcome these struggles in life and these temptations in life if we just take it to God. One thing I want us to see here is David's not talking to his friend at the gas station. He's not talking pump to pump. He's not talking at the school. He's not talking to his friend over Facebook or Instagram. David is talking to his Father in heaven. He's praying to his Father. David knows his weaknesses and he knows who to take his weaknesses to. David knew who to take those weaknesses to. This is important for many reasons, but as we talked previously in the beginning of this sermon, if we will take our mess to God and our troubles to God, God will hear us. And instead of spreading our manure all over the place, the Bible says that he will give you and I wisdom in each situation. I don't know about you, but I need some wisdom. I need wisdom on a daily basis, wisdom as a husband, wisdom as a father, wisdom as a preacher, wisdom, wisdom. We all need some more wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I would be ahead of the game, and you would be ahead of the game if we would just start getting to a place where we take our stuff to God and just simply shut our lips. David goes on to say, don't let me eat of their delicacies. Delicacies, what does that mean? I did not learn that word at Guthrie High School, so I had to Google it. Delicacies, the seductive, pleasurable temptations and sinful lifestyle offered by the ungodly people. David is saying, God, give me discernment who to hang out with, who not to hang out with, who to listen to, who not to listen to, who to share with, who not to share with. God, yes, I need discernment, Lord. I need you to teach me your ways, and I know that your ways are higher. And the Bible says that we will know them by their fruits. And can I tell you, we will know them by their fruits. And I just want to say this. I said this last service. You and I have to have our own discernment and our own walk with God. And we got to look at other people that maybe we want to share with and people that maybe we maybe want them to grow us up or maybe mentor us. And we have to decide with our eyes if that's godly fruit. But we can't be listening with our ears to other people and what they say about other people, because the Lord may be speaking to me differently than he's speaking to you. And their discernment on somebody and their fruit may not be the right discernment. So you and I have to get to a place where we're so in tune with the Spirit and we're so in tune with seeking God that we can find who we need to go to, who can help us in this life of journey with our own discernment of their fruit. David knows that there's traps out there set for the enemy. And you know, how many of you know the enemy would love to see a king fall? A couple of Mondays ago, we had our Devo and Cody talked about how, yeah, I'm the preacher and you're the worship leader and you're the secretary and all these things. We're all a part of the body of Christ. Everybody know that? Say yes. Yes. Can I just say, we're all on the same level. We're all supposed to be disciples. We're all supposed to be servants of God. We're all supposed to be on the same level. And you and I have to begin to see that and believe that in ourselves, because God's going to use these young kids at a different stage in their life than what he's using me right now. He's going to use you different than he's going to use grandma. God is going to use each and every one of us. And we've got to realize that there's traps out there because the enemy wants us to fall. He's simply saying, Lord, protect me. Protect me from evildoers. Protect me so that I don't go there anymore. He says, Lord, I have not come all of this way to fall back into my old life. I have not gone over there to Bethel for so many Sundays and given my life to Christ to fall back to my old life. I have not whipped the enemy with my wife and regained our marriage to just go back to my old life. He's saying, Lord, give me some discernment. Lord, protect me. Lord, lead God and direct me so that I can walk down this path that you have for me. How many of you know, when you and I pray like this and we try to live like this, when the evil talk makes it to our ears, and can I tell you, the evil talk will make it to your ears. But when it comes to your ears and it comes to my ears at the workplace, at church in the corner, over here, wherever it comes to you, you and I can have the spiritual discernment and the maturity in Christ to say, you know what? I'm going to unhook the manure spreader. I'm going to jump on the tractor. I'm going to drop her down in C, put it in 4, and pop a willie leaving this sucker. Because you know what happens to that poop when you leave it behind? You know what happens to it when it's sitting there? I'll give you a little science lesson for those of you who don't know. The first thing that happens to an exposed pile of human or animal dung is the drying process. First service loved it. The drying process. Can I just say, when I read that and when I thought about that, the Lord was like, you need to let some stuff dry up, Cole. You need to let some crap dry up. Can I tell you, some of you sitting in here, there's some things in your life that do not matter. We just sang about the blood. We just sang about, I couldn't do it, so he did it for me. So why in the world are we letting this wet, nasty manure ruin our lives and navigate our ears and take us places that we never meant to go? You and I are overcomers, and you and I need to let some stuff dry up. Dry up. I'm around people a lot of the time that say, I got a lot of fires to put out today. How many of you know the one that says that? We usually know them, and you just want to say, then stop putting wood on it. Stop putting wood on the fire, dog. How do we let the fire go out? Stop putting wood on it. Let it die down. Let it go. Forget about it. Remember the blood. Remember your purpose. Remember what we're shooting for. Can I just say, stop stooping that low. Stop stooping that low. When someone is not where you are in their maturity and their walk with Christ, don't fall down to their level. I heard this week. A guy said, you know what? The eagle doesn't jump down on the ground and fight the snake on the ground. Why? Because the snake would kill him. But instead, he knows, and he's wise, and he has wisdom, and he picks that sucker up, and he flies to high altitudes, and the snake is freaking out, and the snake can't rear back, and the snake can't bite, so he takes him up there, and he kills him. Can I just say, stop fighting in environments that favor your enemy. I'll say it again. Stop fighting things that favor the enemy that is after you and I. Stop. Get out of there. Be quiet there. Leave there. Pray over it. Get away from it. Stop fighting the enemy in their own environment. If this is you and you're struggling with this today, I would say you need to ask somebody. Get with somebody. Find somebody in your church. Find somebody that you look up to. Find somebody that has gone further than you, that is proven, but make sure that it is somebody who is real, and make sure that they are godly, and make sure that they will tell you the flat truth. I don't like that one. They will tell you the flat out truth. And if you really want to grow, and if we really want to overcome, we need people that will tell us the truth. If I don't want to stay down here stagnant, if I don't want to stay who I used to be, if I want to grow and if I want to get better and if I want to be a better pastor and if I want to be a better husband and I want to be a better mother and a better child, I need to hang around some people that will give me a godly strike. And can I just say, if you go to people all the time with your struggles and they never give you a godly strike and instead they say, oh, baby, it's okay. You did nothing wrong. You are probably going to the wrong people. You're probably going to the wrong people because, can I tell you, some people are smarter than you. A lot of people are smarter than me. And just like we talked about the snake and the eagle, look, the eagle was smarter than the snake. And there's people out there that don't want to see you prosper. And there's people out there that don't want to see you do better. And there's people out there that don't want to see you become a better pastor. And they don't want to see your marriage grow. And they don't want to see your kids be better than you were. They don't want to see that. So when you bring your struggles to them, they are not going to help you. Instead, they are going to try to hinder you by telling you, it's okay, baby, you're not doing anything wrong. Just keep going around the same old tree and never get to where God wants you to go. Psalms 141, 5. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayers will still be against the deeds of evildoers. This is not a physical strike, by the way. Even some of you and me might need two or three or a whole down beat down. David is saying, Cole, you can do all of this. You can do all of this if you will let a godly man strike you. If you will take some godly correction, it's how we learn. It's how we become better. It's how God takes away our pride. It's how we become humble. It's how God matures us. It's how we grow. Some of you in here have let pride override godly counsel, and now you're suffering the consequences, looking back, wishing that you had set it aside. And before you get bowed up and before you get mad, I can say that to you, because even though I'm only 33, when I was about 20 something, I got mad at my job and I got my feelings hurt and my life just sucked and I was just a little whiny crybaby and I let pride get all over me. And my wife had just had a baby and I moved us from the state of Texas all the way out to the state of New Mexico, out into the middle of nowhere. My wife had to suffer my consequences, and not only my wife, my baby had to as well. So whenever you and I let pride beat us, and we let pride whip us, and we let pride overtake us, it does not only affect you and your life, it will affect your spouse, and it will affect your kids, and it will affect everybody around you in your circle. Young people, learn this now. Listen and pay attention. Understand this now so that you will have a smoother ride. That's what it's all about. We want you guys not to go through what we went through. Mom is just trying to help you. Dad is just trying to help you. Listen to godly correction. It is what the Bible and the Word of God is telling us to do. And you and I would gain if we would just take it and let it work and be thankful for those who have given you godly correction. This week, send a text to somebody who's given you some godly correction. Send a text to them. How about this? Cody used to preach about letters all the time. He's like, anybody can send a text, but a real man or a real woman who really, really cares will stop what they're doing, write a letter, and put it in the mail. It means something. Send somebody a letter this week thanking them for godly correction. I'm so thankful for the hard talks that I've had with Cody. I did not like every one of them, and I usually don't like them for a while. They're hard, but I am not a fool and I'm not an idiot. I know that he knows. I know that he's been doing this a long time. I know that he is full of wisdom, and I know that he's grounded in the Word of God. Therefore, when he tells me something that maybe hurts me and maybe is a godly strike, I do not get butthurt about it, and I do not waller it. I do not cry and I do not whine. I would be a fool to think that somebody who's been in this calling for 25 years, who knows that people will drop you and people will hate you and people will cuss you, I would be a complete fool if I did not take godly correction from that man. It's only hurting you and it's only hurting me if we're too prideful to let someone else grow us up. Conrad, you better come there looking at me with wild eyes, convicted eyes. But just like the sharing thing that we talked about in the beginning, we got to be careful who we listen to. Young people, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to when you take your struggles and your problems to them. Be careful. Not every strike is a godly strike or from a godly person. But if you and I are in relationship with God and you and I are in tune with the Spirit, I believe this wholeheartedly. If you and I are in tune with God and you and I are seeking God, we will be able to decipher between the two people that we can go share with and the two people that we do not need to go share with. But you gotta be in walk with God. You gotta be in step with the Spirit. You gotta be opening your word. You gotta be praying in the Spirit. You gotta be asking for forgiveness. You gotta be rolling. You gotta be with the Lord to have to decipher between the two. And you know what I've learned? When I'm trying to decipher things through God, as hard as it is for me, I've gotta shut up. I've gotta be quiet. I told the first service, shouldn't probably tell y'all this, but when I need to hear from God or when I'm struggling or when I need to pray or when I need to write a sermon or I need to write a funeral, I go up those stairs right there and I go up there and I shut both doors and I turn on one lamp and I'm up there. I tell them boys in the deal, I say, hey, look, I'm going to the upper room. Don't be calling me. Don't be texting me. Because I know I'm a distractive person and I know that I have a calling on my life and I know that I need to hear from God and I know that if I go try to put the fires out, I'll screw it up and make a big fire. But I have enough discernment to say, I'm gonna put my phone away, I'm gonna get away from my guys, I'm gonna get away from my girls, and I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna spend time with God. And that is when I hear from God. Find you a quiet place. Take time out of your day. Don't you know, like when your son and your daughter, I don't know about y'all, but when my boys come to me and they thank me for this or thank me for that or just tell me that they love me, or this morning they just came out and said, good morning, Dad. It makes me happy. It makes me fired up. Don't you know when you stop worrying about your business and you stop worrying about what they're saying and you stop worrying about what they're doing and you stop putting your pride in front of everything else and you go behind closed doors and you go up there and you tell the Father, God, I'm thankful for my family. God, I'm thankful for this day. God, I'm thankful for my church. Don't you know He just smiles and just wants to rain down blessings. Take time out, man, to do that. So what's the bottom line? As David did, we need to ask God to help us keep our mouth shut. We have not because we ask not. Ask Him. It doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter what they do. Just the only thing that matters is your reaction and my reaction. The Bible says when we give our lives to Christ, it's not I who lives, but Christ who lives inside of me. How would Christ react? I am not preaching to you. I'm talking to myself. How would Christ react in this situation? It's a tough one. David says, we need to pray that our hearts will not be drawn to wicked things and ways of evildoers. Can I just say, young people, don't partake. Don't participate. Lead up. Be different. Go different. Be different. Lead up. Don't get down to their level. Be the eagle. Don't fight in their environment. And lastly, we need to let the righteous man strike us. We need to have some godly men and women in our life that we can take godly correction from, and we can take it with a good heart, a heart that wants to mature, a heart that wants to get better, and a heart that wants to grow. So if you'll stand on your feet, we'll pray it out. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for when it's nice and when it convicts us. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me through this. I pray that you would give me the power to not only hear and teach what you've taught me, but Lord, to go out this week and do it, to think about what I'm talking about, to think about how I'm talking about it, to who's hearing it, to where it's going and what it's doing. Lord, I just pray as a whole, Lord, as a whole body of the body of Christ standing before me, Lord, that we would just see, Lord, that you have higher ways for us, that you have plans for us. But Lord, as we let the things that are going on in our minds and the fires in the back of our heads and the things that are coming in our ears and out of our mouths, as we partake more in that, Lord, it's taking us away from the things that you have us, that you have in store for us, Lord. Help us to see that so that we can put those fires out. Help us to be the people that take the spoon out of the bowl and throw it in the yard so that there's no more stirring going on. Help us to be the ones that just lead a little bit different, that we would quit fighting in their environment, Lord. Help us to see, to just take a self-check. Where do I keep failing? Where do I keep falling? Where do I keep having these troubles? And Lord, we might just see that the struggle is that we're in the wrong environment. We're in the wrong environment where you don't want us there, but we keep putting ourselves there. Lord, just speak. speak to each and every one of us. Help us just mature and just to grow. And Lord, just remember that we are the body of Christ and we should be building each other up and we should be bragging about the people that we're going to church with and bragging about how they're doing life and bragging about how they're raising their kids. And Lord, if somebody comes to us, help us be the one that just unhooks the manure spreader and God maybe just disciples them and maybe just loves on them and maybe just prays for them and doesn't take it down the road anymore. Lord, speak to us in the remaining time in this place. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.